Welcome to the Little Man Big Mouth Podcast with me, Jonah. I'm a kid who loves sports. I can talk about sports every day, all day. Think you can handle that? Then stick around for today's show. Today, I'm talking about the CFP. Let's get right into it. Now, the four teams in the CFP, the College Football Playoffs, are Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama. Now, for starters, Michigan. Michigan's 100% beast in this College Football Playoff. They won with an assistant coach in Happy Valley against Penn State and beat their rival, Ohio State, without their head coach. Now, yes, people might say they are cheaters, but, I mean, they went in and still beat teams with an assistant coach. These players played hard, and they deserve every right to be the number one seed. Now, the two seed, Washington, they went undefeated. They beat top 25 teams five times this season. And, I mean, they won the Pac-12, the last Pac-12 championship. They won every game. They deserve the right to be here by Heisman runner-up Michael Penix, who is leading them in this playoff run. Now, the number three team is the Texas Longhorns. Texas beat Bama early in the season, and they showed from then on that they should be in this playoff. Quinn Ewers has had a phenomenal season with his two great receivers, Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. Both of these receivers have killed the defenses this season, and Quinn Ewers is hoping they can win a national championship in the CFP era. Now, the number four team is sketchy. Right now, it's Alabama, who I don't think should be in. The team I think should be in is Georgia, the reigning back-to-back national champions. Yes, they did lose to Bama on a controversial ref call, but think about it. The CFP is about the top four teams, the best four teams. Georgia has shown all year that they are a top four team. They beat Ole Miss when they were number 9, 52-17. They beat number 18 Tennessee at Tennessee, 38-10. They also beat a number 20 ranked Kentucky, 51-13. Georgia lost to Alabama. Again, they lost on a controversial call. I know, the refs are just trying to do their best. But Georgia, throughout this season, has shown they won 29 straight games before that Alabama loss. Georgia is a top four team. They are one of the best teams in the country right now. And they showed it by beating Florida State 63-3 in the Orange Bowl. People might say, oh, but Florida State was only playing, you know, the backups. A lot of people opted out. But in the second half, Georgia put in the almost all freshman team and went up 21-0 in the second half. They scored 21 points with the freshman offense. Look, their team is stacked. Georgia is one of the best teams, and they showed it by killing Florida State, beating everybody 29 straight games, but Bama. Look, Bama might have beat them, but they would have beaten them in a rematch. Georgia should be in this playoff. Now, another team a lot of people thought should be in this cultural playoff is the Florida State Seminoles. Yes, they went undefeated. ACC champs. They beat LSU the first game of the season. But Jordan Travis got injured. Their backup quarterback transferred out. Who would have been playing in that game would have been Brock Glenn, the third-string quarterback. The CFP committee did not want a third-string quarterback playing against the number one seed Michigan Wolverines, because it would have looked terrible. It would have been like the TCU game last year against Georgia, which was awful, an awful finals national championship game. They don't want that to happen again, so that's why they put Alabama, a one-loss team, in front of Florida State. But think about it. Georgia, 29 straight games. Again, 29 straight. Two seasons of undefeated football. and they put Alabama in front of them. Alabama, the Alabama team that Texas beat, and the USF, University of South Florida, almost beat. Alabama is not the team that should be in there. They're about to get killed by Michigan. It's going to be a slaughter, and the CFP committee will not look good. If I was on the CFP committee, I would have put in 1, Michigan, 2, Washington, 3, the University of Texas at Austin, and 4, the University of Georgia. That does it for my CFP breakdown.
Now it's time for the new Unscripted 3.0 Side to Side. Jonah and Gabriel will each have topics, and they get to pick a side. The other one has to take the other side. When we're all done, you'll have a chance on Insta to vote to see who won this week's battle. Round 1. Which is a better in-season gimmick to raise interest for a sport? The NBA in-season tournament or the NHL Winter Classic? Who's up first?
I'll go first. I believe the in-season tournament in the NBA is way better than the Winter Classic. Most people don't even know what the Winter Classic is. The in-season tournament has been giving meaning to the first part of the regular season. And that is why I think the in-season tournament is way better than the Winter Classic.
Alright, well, I'm going to side with the Winter Classic. The Winter Classic is better because, one, the jerseys are the old-fashioned and classic jerseys. So people who have been watching hockey for a long time get the remembrance of the old jerseys of the Boston Bruins and the teams who are playing. 2, hockey is now played outside for this Winter Classic. Outside, the nice freezing cold air and the ice, it's so nice, it's beautiful weather, it's amazing, I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah, but just like the Winter Classic, in the NBA, they have these brand new courts just for the in-season tournaments, as well as these all new 30 new city jerseys, which give it a new meaning, and it gives the players something to play for. The Winter Classic in the NHL doesn't mean anything, it's just another game on the season. For the in-season tournament, you actually win a trophy. You can hang a banner.
Yeah, you can hang a banner and you can win a trophy. But the Winter Classic, it's just magical, okay? You got 4 teams who bring out the old logos, bring out the old jerseys, who play hockey outside. It's magnificent.
Next topic. LeBron and the Lakers won the first in-season classic. Does this count towards LeBron's championship chase of Jordan's 6 rings?
No, it does not. Because the in-season tournament, one, is at the start of the season. Teams are not getting their full chemistry, their full opportunity to play with each other. It's just the beginning of the season. So no, because at the end of the season, everyone has chemistry. Everyone's linked in. Every team is all locked in. The in-season tournament, it's just a joke. No, Jordan also had to play against top defenses to win his 6 rings. The best teams ever play. Do you know what LeBron is playing with? The worst defenses.
Okay, I completely disagree with you. While the in-season tournament should not count as another ring for LeBron, it should still go in his list of accolades for his Hall of Fame career. And I think that is an awful argument. If Michael Jordan was put in today's NBA, he would be at best Jimmy Butler.
Wrong.
He was playing with one of the best defenders and rebounders ever to play, Dennis Rodman, and
because
the best second man ever, Scottie Pippen. If you put Michael Jordan on the Cavs team, which LeBron won, he is not even making the playoffs. And
Do you know why? Do you know why he had the best rebounder and best defender? Because people wanted to play with him. Because he was not selfish. He won the defensive player of the year and offensive player
Jordan
of the year
would
in
be,
the same year.
Jordan,
he played Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. He played insane players.
Jonah, Jordan would not do well in the NBA because he can't shoot the 3. And he will just flop.
All right, that was a heated one. Next, As of this recording, the Pistons have finally won their first game after setting an NBA record for stinking, losing 28 in a row. Which is worse, having a winless season in the NFL or going nearly 2 full months without a win in the NBA?
I believe that a winless season in the NFL is worse than not winning a single game in the first couple of months of the NBA season. Because, as Jonah said before, not all the teams have their chemistry together. Especially for the Pistons, who have almost all young guys and all their older veterans have been injured. While for the NFL, like when the Browns...
See, this is why the NBA season is worse. So, the NFL, you only play 17 games. Right? The Pistons have already played 30 games.
But as you said, all the teams don't have chemistry. There's still so many young players who aren't getting to meet each other. And they also have more games. The Pistons right now have 3 wins. The Cleveland Browns over 2 seasons had 1 win. That is way worse for a fan base, for a team, and a coach.
Next topic. Shohei Ohtani shattered the record books with his Dodgers contract, $700 million. Will he live up to the hype of this money?
Yes, Ohtani will live up to the hype. Because even though he can't pitch this season, the Dodgers are still getting one of the greatest hitters ever to step into the baseball diamond. Over the past 3 seasons, his OPS has been a 965, 875, and 1066. This is Hall of Fame numbers. And also, this past season, he hit 44 home runs and led the American League in home runs. And he still missed the last month with players like Aaron Judge hitting home runs. He still beat everybody. This is why they are not overpaying for Ohtani. He is worth this $700 million price tag.
Now, I disagree. Ohtani does not deserve this much money for just being a DH. Now he might last maybe 5 years, but if he does not pitch in these next 5 years, he's gonna go. Because these Dodgers are not playing $700 million just for a DH. They want a defensive and offensive player. These Dodgers are not playing $700 million just for him to hit.
Wait, I have a question just for you. Hit. As a Red Sox fan, would you have paid Big Poppy $700 million to be one of the greatest DHs in MLB history?
Yes, because he was not injured.
Exactly. That's exactly what Shohei Ohtani is. He's putting up better numbers than Big Poppy. And you're saying you'd pay a worse player than Shohei Ohtani, who plays the same position, that much money?
Well, we wouldn't pay him $700 million, because you're paying him $700 million. You're paying Ohtani $700 million to pitch and hit.
Exactly.
But guess what? He's not pitching. So right now, you just have a hitter. You don't have any defender. When you pay a player, right, usually he's an outfielder or an infielder.
Yamamoto. He is going to be a great pitcher. And because Ohtani pushed all of his money back to basically after he retires, the Dodgers have enough cap space to go make other moves for defensive players.
One thing. Okay. So you said Yamamoto, right? They're playing over $1 billion in these next 12 years for a pitcher and a hitter.
Speaking of the Dodgers, are the Dodgers the new Yankees?
Yes, they are. So, their lineup is looking like Betts at 1, Freeman at 2, Ohtani at 3. They also have Will Smith at catcher, Max Muncy, and Enrique Hernandez. And their rotation is looking like Walker Buehler, Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, and Julio Urias. They are looking like the next super team and the next hated team in the MLB. Right next to, you guessed it, the New York Yankees.
I disagree with you because of this one thing. the Dodgers can't win the World Series, unlike the Yankees.
Exactly, because they needed Ohtani.
No, they still won't win. I'm telling you, even though the Dodgers got Ohtani, they got Yamamoto.
Yamamoto.
They still cannot hold a candle to the Braves' flame. The Braves have Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Max Fried, Spencer Strider, Matt Olson, and a slew of other great players, and they have them locked down for cheap money for the next 5 years. So they are the next dynasty. Don't put the Dodgers there. They're going to spend money, but they're going to just spend as much money as they want to. But I would rather take when they lost the World Series team, which they lost to the Red Sox, over this team. Because besides the top three players you said, they can't Betts, Friedman, and Ohtani. Those other people are replaceable. They're a bunch of nobodies. And the rotation has little experience and always gets injured.
Little experience? Let's talk about Yamamoto and let's see.
Yamamoto hasn't pitched in the MLB.
All right. Our final tiebreaker this week, our last round, what's better, a hot cup of cocoa in the wintertime or an ice-cold beverage during the summer?
Hot cocoa during the winter. At the fireplace, oh my, hot cocoa hits different. Hot cocoa, best drink in the wintertime, no doubt.
I disagree with you. A good old-fashioned sweet iced tea in the summertime is way better than a hot cocoa in the
hot cocoa. Oh, great voice crack right there.
In the winter, a nice cold sweet tea. Because in the winter, you can always just put on layers. In the summertime, you only have so many layers which you can take off.
Exactly.
That is why a nice ice cold drink, such as an good old-fashioned sweet tea, is way better than a hot cocoa in the wintertime.
Exactly. All right, folks, that brings our side-to-side to an end. Remember, after listening to the episode, to vote at our Insta account to decide who won, Jonah or Gabriel.
Welcome to Perfect 10. The rules are, I ask 10 questions. Whoever has the most points at the end wins. To buzz in, just say your name. We have two contestants joining us today. In the left corner, we have a diehard Braves fan, Chandler. And in the right corner, we have Matt Witten. Are you boys ready to rumble?
Let's go. Yeah.
All right, the first question is, what baseball player just signed the largest contract in MLB history?
Matt. I'm going to go with Shohei Ohtani.
That is correct. Matt is up 1-0. The second question is, which NFL backup quarterback just tied the record for most consecutive wins as an undrafted rookie?
Chandler. Tommy DeVito?
That is correct. 1-1. Question 3. Name an NFL team who has had a winless season.
Matt. I'm going to say the Browns.
That is correct. Matt is up 2-1. The next question is, who won the 2023 in-season tournament?
Chandler. The Los Angeles Lakers.
That is correct. They now are tied 2-2. The next question is, which team won the 2023 World Series?
Matt. I'm going to say the Rangers.
That is correct. Matt is up 3-2 with 5 questions left. Now, question number 6. Which current NFL coach has the most career victories?
Chandler. Bill Belichick?
That is correct. That is now tied 3-3. The 7th question is, who was the 2023 number one overall pick for the NHL draft?
Chandler. Connor Bedard.
Yes, that is correct. 4-3. Chandler takes the lead. Now, question number 8. Which two former NFL coaches are leading teams in the college football playoffs?
Chandler. I know one of them is Jim Harbaugh.
Okay. What's the other?
Steve Sarkisian?
Nope. Matt, you got a chance.
Be honest, I don't know.
You don't know? The answer was Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh. That is right. Jim Harbaugh coached the 49ers. Now, with the ninth question. And the lead, the score is Chandler 4, Matt 3. The ninth question is, which former Mets player is still receiving $1 million every year, even though he retired in 2001?
Chandler.
Bobby
Bonilla.
That is correct. And since that was the ninth question and Chandler is up by 2, that is game. Congrats to Chandler and thanks for playing, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
It was an honor.
Now it is time for Stick by Your Picks. With the college football players about to start, it is time to give our picks. These are ironclad picks. We will not waver one bit, no matter what happens between now and the games. Our lawyers have asked us to let you know this is for entertainment purposes only. Do not bet your shirt or your house on these picks. First up, the Alabama Crimson Tide versus the Michigan Wolverines in the Rose Bowl.
I think Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide will crush the Michigan Wolverines. Jalen Milroe looks like a totally different player than what he looked like when he lost to the Texas Longhorns. The way that they dominated the Bulldogs in the SEC Championship shows that Jim Harbaugh's cheating won't even give them a chance against the greatest college football coach ever.
Now, first off, they did not kill Georgia. Second, Michigan, with J.J. McCarthy at their quarterback, and their two dominant running backs, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, they are going to kill this Alabama Crimson Tide and their defense. The CFP committee will regret putting Alabama against Michigan, as Alabama will be nowhere close to this Michigan dominant offense.
I disagree with you. Because of Alabama, how dominant Alabama's secondary is. J.J. McCarthy is not a good quarterback to begin with, and Alabama has two potential first-round cornerbacks will shut down J.J. McCarthy, and because of how dominant Alabama's run defense is, Michigan will not be able to score any points, and Nick Saban will move on to another championship game.
Well, the next CFP playoff game is Washington Huskies versus the Texas Longhorns. Now, personally, I think Quinn Ewers and these Texas Longhorns with receivers of Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell will cook up this Husky defense.
I agree with you. While the Washington Huskies have one of the best offensive lines in the game, Texas's defense is just way too talented for Washington. You have Tre'Davious Sweat, Jalen Ford, who are two of the most dominant defensive players, will dominate Michael Penix, make him uncomfortable, and he will make a lot of mistakes.
And who do you think will win the CFP National Championship game?
My winner in the rematch of Week 2, Texas, will again beat Alabama and rewrite history because Alabama will not be able to injure our quarterback this time.
Now, I disagree with the teams. It's been Michigan versus Texas, but the Texas Longhorns of Austin, Texas will beat the Michigan Wolverines in the CFP National Championship.
And we have a bonus question, tiebreaker. Which coach is likely to leave his team first, Jim Harbaugh or Nick Saban?
Nick Saban, by retiring.
Jim Harbaugh is going to leave after this season to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, that does it, folks. So stick by your picks. What would sports talk be without lists. Bupkis, so here is my list of the day. Top 5 holiday sweets. Number 5, candy canes. Number 4, the gingerbread cookie. Including the gingerbread house. Number 3, jelly-filled donuts for Hanukkah. Number 2, Gel, otherwise known as chocolate money. And number 1, hot cocoa. Even though it's a drink, it's the best thing to have at this time of year. Well, that does it, folks, for the Little Man Big Mouth Podcast. Check out our next episode when it drops. Until then, see ya!
Follow the show on Insta at Little Man Big Mouth. Keep up with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast provider. The Little Man Big Mouth Podcast is an exclusive creation of Hefeweizen Podcast Productions.